This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
This is the 2VT Podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome!
I miss the heyday of when you could just get all kinds of music for free on the internet.
All right, dude.
MP3, that little window of time when you could just get anything. Lots of people just put it out there for self-promotion to get their music heard. And then, you know, that's how I found lots of bands. And that's how I'd go end up buying them and watching their shows, because they'd have it out. Like, they'd give it to some website. Here, put this out.
Yeah.
Because they were never going to get radio play.
Oh, yeah.
Airplay on the radio. That's how I've learned. That's how most of the bands that I really, really like, I discovered them through, like, free MP3s people would put up on back when music blogs were really a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that and, like, have you seen, like, Napster? Napster did a really, it did a lot of good for, you know, music and stuff like that. But, I mean, granted, I got to take Metallica's side a little bit on it also. They did a lot of bad as well. But you know, whenever it came down to it, like, you know, those free streaming sites, and I won't say free streaming sites, but free download sites like that did do a lot of good. They did a lot of hurt also, but, you know, it's a give and take type thing, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're going, somebody's going out there and ripping copies of Metallica's entire catalog and just posting it for free download, that stinks. But if it's like, you found a lot of great websites that were curated by people that, you know, they are just promoting music that they love.
Yeah.
Not going crazy. It's like, hey, here's two or three really good songs. Let's go check them out, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was a balance. And usually it's like the smaller bands that I never would have heard of that would benefited from that kind of thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, and, you know, I think that there's still a few free, like, things like that. Like, you know, I don't know what it takes to get... You know, my music career ended way before things like, Stitcher and Spotify and stuff like that came about, where you can listen to music for free, you know, it streams it or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you can pay the monthly service to where you could actually download the stuff or whatnot. I don't know how that works. I don't know if they have to, you know, do like a consignment like Dill or how all that. I don't know how those work. So I can't really relate or talk about that, but you know, there are still, you know, means out there for people to get music and listen to it for free. But, you know, like with, I do know like Spotify, like you're only allowed so many skips per hour type thing. If you're listening to Spotify and stuff, if you're doing the free and you can have to stream it, you can't download it type stuff or whatever. But if you do the paid, then you can skip music as much as what you want to. And then, you know, actually download stuff. So I don't know if they pay the artists by download or if they pay them at all. You know, obviously there's some sort of money switched in there at some point, but you know,
mostly deal. I listened to an interview with Everlast, and to him, it's really, really good. Spotify and iTunes music and all that, because he owns the rights to pretty much everything he's ever written and put out. It's the bands that got a really bad deal where the record company retains the rights and they get a big chunk of it or most of the money.
Oh yeah.
And then it's the artist is then left with pennies.
It's like the, have you ever heard the story of the Beatles and like, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson or whatever, and the rights to like the Beatles music and stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Michael Jackson owned him, right? He bought the.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, catalog. He had asked, Paul McCartney about like investing and stuff like that. And Paul McCartney mentioned to him, like, you know, like you need to like go after like rights to music and stuff like that, because you can always make a lot of money off it. You know, you can sell the rights to be used in commercials and blah, 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 and all like this good stuff or whatever. And, you know, the Beatles catalog was coming up for purchase. And of course, Paul McCartney was planning on buying it. like buying it all, and Michael Jackson swooped in underneath him and bought all the Beatles rights from
him. Oh, that's how that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So Paul McCartney kind of cheated himself by giving it good advice.
Yeah, exactly. By giving a good advice to a guy, got that stuff taken out from it underneath him. And I guess this is about the same time that Nike commercial came out, the one that had the revolution. I think it's, did you just get attacked by a cat?
Yeah, Smeagol just jumped his claws out on my knee because my wife and kids aren't here for her to attack. Now she's wanting to know.
Yeah, got you a nice relaxing day.
It was a big deal. So I wonder if the Jackson Estate still owns the Beatles catalog.
That's a good question. I don't know if that came up like after Michael Jackson passed and maybe that went into default or I don't know, man. That's a good question. That's. I do know that he passed with a lot of debt, I think, or whatever, because I think that was the whole point of him doing that other tour, because I think he was supposed to head out on tour, was actually on tour whenever he passed away. And I think that might have been one of the whole reasons that he was going out on tours, because he was going broke. But
that extravagant lifestyle.
Oh God. Yeah.
That chimpanzee of his didn't eat cheap, I'm sure.
Right. I don't know how much bananas cost a day, but it just depends on how many pounds a day he's eating or whatever.
Eating Oreos and crapping all over the place. What's that from?
I don't know. It sounds familiar though.
It's Clint Eastwood movie. Any Which Way You Can Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, Right Turn, Clyde.
Yeah, yeah. That big orangutan. Oh, how's your foot, Dave?
It's doing better, man. It's not as swollen as what it has been. Thank God I can actually get a shoe on and stuff like that. But it's kind of one of those things of where it's like, a couple of years ago, I got really into like the whole health kick and was like working out like almost every day and lost a lot of weight and was doing great. And then had a wreck and kind of hurt my knee and had to kind of lay off of stuff and fell back into old habits. And then all of a sudden get back into it and think I might possibly have a stress fracture in my foot. So it's like, oh yeah, that's awesome. And I don't know if that's just due to crappy shoes or just trying to do too much too soon type thing or what. So it's just, it's aggravating.
That stinks.
Yeah.
That really stinks. Especially if you're trying to be more active and stuff. Not much worse you can do other than.
Oh yeah.
Putting your foot like that.
Plus with Celebration coming up, I've got to get be able to walk quite a bit in a day. Not saying I don't walk quite a bit in a day already as it is, but whenever I went to Celebration in Orlando, 2 years ago, I'll say right at 2 years ago, just about, I was averaging 12 to 13 miles of walk in a day. And then, and I don't do that much every day. So I've got to do something so that way I'm not just dead by day five at Celebration this next time in Chicago. So.
Yeah. But that's a lot of miles.
Oh God. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Hey everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
Michael.
Have you, speaking about the free, music streaming stuff, and I brought up Napster earlier. Have you seen that meme that's floating around right now that says something about on this day 17 years ago? Or I think it's I don't know if it's seven. I don't remember how many years ago it was. I already ruined the joke, but it's a meme floating around saying something about on this day, so many years ago, my mom picked up the phone and screwed up my 17 hours of downloading an album from Napster. I was like, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Oh. I remember that though. Yeah. I mean, literally taking an hour to download one song.
Oh yeah.
One song, not even an album.
Yeah. And that
would sometimes take an hour. That's a weird moment in time.
Oh yeah. And then spending, now you get upset if a song's not downloaded within 5 seconds. You're like, oh my gosh, come on. Mm-hmm. This is taking forever. What are you doing? But, I remember back, in the infancy of the internet, they were filming episode one, and that, man, they were just throwing stuff up left and right on the internet, man. I mean, just so much stuff. They would almost post the dailies from whenever they were filming the dailies. They'd almost post that crap, and you'd sit there I would start the download and then get up and, you know, go make a sandwich, get something to eat, go outside, do something, walk down, check the mail or something like that, and then come back and be like, okay, well, 3/4 of the picture's downloaded now. So what's that? Oh, that looks pretty neat. Who's this guy? Oh my gosh, that looks pretty cool. You know, just waiting, waiting forever for that download to come through was just, it was brutal, man. And then, like I said, now, like I sit here and complain because it's going to take like, you know, 5 minutes for this to upload to our service that we use to, whenever we have to record like this, whenever you're way out in, at your house and I'm way here at my house and, you know, I've got to put it up for you so that way you can do all the finishing tweaks to it and stuff like that. And we're like, oh man, I can't believe this is taking 5 minutes to upload into the cloud. And it's like, good grief, man. Like, this is just ridiculous. And, you know, just remember back to the good old days of whenever it took an hour or more to download just a single song.
Yep. Yep.
And then you'd get the song started to download and somebody would call. So it'd knock you off your connection or whatever. You're like, oh, son of a gun. That's the reason why I always downloaded everything at night. Downloaded everything at night because nobody would be calling or whatever.
This crazy cat is driving me nuts.
What's it doing?
Leaves
now?
Me alone all day long. And as soon as I start talking to you, she just wants to be up on the desk, sit on the laptop.
That's because she loves you, Michael.
No, she doesn't.
She wants you to get her a good. She wants a good report for the kitty Santa Claus.
Yeah, my dogs love me. The cat doesn't care about me.
Yeah, the cat just wants attention right now. This is what it is. Later on, it'll be like, "You go away, Mister. I've got other things to do: feet to lick, butts to scratch, or something like that."
Yeah,
litter boxes to mess up.
Yep, yep, yep. Animals.
Oh, yeah. I dig them. Your life would be a lot more boring without them.
That's true.
Yeah. Even though my dog, she's so old now, she doesn't really do anything at all. She just waits for cats to walk by in the backyard, and she hits the back door like she's about to break through the glass and barks for way too long. And then you got to yell at her or something like that. And that's about it. Then she goes back to her laying down spot. She doesn't like to do much anymore. She used to be my running partner, man. That's kind of like one of the ways that I actually got into running back in the day is like, you know, I was working second shift, so I didn't have to be at work till 3:30. So I'd get up somewhere around like 9-10 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, we'd started off by going for walks and it was like, hey, I kind of want to run and then run down to like the end of the road. And then whenever, you know, run down to the end of the road and it's like a cul-de-sac and you walk around the cul-de-sac and then you go up the other road and be like, okay, well, I've got my breath again. Let's run up to the end of this road and then get your breath there, or, you know, walk the corner and then, you know, go back down the other road and then kind of add to it until, you know, eventually running the entire way instead of just, you know, to the end of the road, take a breather, to the end of the road, take a breather, to the end of the road, take a breather. And that's kind of all that started. Now it's like, I don't have my compadre anymore. I don't even know if she could, you know, I don't even know if she could go that long anymore, man. Like she's kind of breaking down quick, I guess. It's, you know, she's 13. So kind of feel bad if I try to drag her out on stuff like that anymore.
Yeah. She'd probably enjoy it for about a minute and then be done.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And, well, it's maybe I could just get a cat to like run in front of us or something like that. If I get a cat to run in front of us, she'd be after it. She'd be like, okay, let's do this. Let's get that sucker.
You could wear a cat suit. costume. Chase you around. That'd motivate.
Actually, I think she'd probably run from me if that was the case. She'd be like, holy crap, what I do to deserve this?
I darn sure would if I saw you coming in with a cat suit on.
Right. I would probably scare myself. Remind me of that movie Sleepwalkers that came out way back in the day.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that one?
No, but something rings a bell.
It was a Stephen King book, and then I don't know what company was that did the movie of it, but it was like this mother and this child. Well, I say child. He was like a teenager, like a high school student or whatever. And they move into some town or whatever. And, they're like cat people, but they wear like skin masks or something like that. Oh, I don't know. Like it was weird, dude. This one was, like I said, it's a Stephen King book and I'm probably like butchering it. But apparently, like, I guess they fed off the souls of virgins or something like that. So, like, the sun, the sun would, like, take these virgin women out, virgin girls from the high school out and, like, you know, start, like, making out with them. And the next thing you know, he's, like, sucking their souls out or whatever. But they were, like, they looked like cats underneath, like, in their real form. They kind of looked like cats, but yet their weakness was cats also. So, I don't know.
That's
how the movie went. I don't know how the book goes. I never read the book. I don't do scary stuff, you know, but.
Man, speaking, you bringing up Stephen King movie. I was flipping through the stations the other day about a week ago and Cujo was on. Oh my God.
I've never seen that one.
I don't know if you've ever seen Cujo. It is one of the first. It came out. I want to look up and see when it came out. The movie came out. I'm a kid.
What's that? You're breaking up really bad just then, man.
Huh?
I said you were talking, but you were breaking up really bad.
Oh,
we got
you. Yeah, it came out in 1983.
Oh, wow.
It came out in 1983, so I would have been 11, 12.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it, and it just freaked me out because it's one that's just a real world situation. This dog just got rabies.
Oh, wow.
And a mother and little tiny kid get trapped in a car. And this dog is a big old St. Bernard.
Yeah.
Huge dog. And it's just horrific watching it. Yeah. It's one of the first, I guess, really scary, scary movies I ever watched.
Yeah. I need to check that out. Like, I've always heard people talk about it or whatever. I've always wanted to see it just because I'd always heard, you know, like, about Cujo. I didn't know that it was just rabies that he got. I thought he might have just been, like, some demon dog or something like that just decided to go crazy or something.
Well, that's just off the top. It might be. Knowing Stephen King, there's always a touch of some kind of otherness involved, too.
Yeah.
But his movies are always hit or miss. I know you don't really do the horror, but some of his movies are like, you know, The Green Mile.
Oh, dude. That's
great. But some other movies are not that good.
That's Shawshank Redemption. Wasn't that Stephen King also?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's probably one of the best right there, too.
Well, dude, Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption, like, I think I listed those maybe in my... When we did the list of movies, I think I actually listed either both of those, or at least I want to say I listed Shawshank Redemption. That's still, like, one of my favorites. I actually watched that one on regular TV the other day, man.
Really?
Yeah, it was on... I don't remember what channel it was on, but it was, you know, it was on one of the cable channels, I guess, or whatever. But even watching it with, you know, commercials and stuff like that, and it was still just... freaking great, man, with Tim Robbins Morgan Freeman. Yeah. As well as I always forget how tall Tim Robbins is until I see him in movies with people. And that dude was like, I won't say was.
He's a big guy, huh?
Yeah, he's a tall dude, man. Like, I don't know how tall he is, but you always see him up against these other actors and he's like towering over them. And it's like, good grief, man. But yeah, I've always enjoyed that dude. What was it he was in? I think recently. It was kind of funny. Like, he had, what the devil was it? Oh, that's killing me. Oh, well. I watched that and I watched, Of Mice and Men the other day. Of Mice and Men's like one of my favorites, man. Like, not necessarily the movie. I always liked the book and the play. The play is kind of like what got me. I can't really read Steinbeck all that much, you know, like, but the play, I always loved the play. And that was like one of the ones I always wanted to do. I always wanted to play Lenny back in the day whenever I was doing the whole acting bit and stuff or whatever.
Who was that? John, was that the one with John Malkovich?
Yeah. John Malkovich played Lenny and Gary Sinise was, George, and it had Sherilyn Finn. She plays, Curly, I can't remember her character's name, but she plays Curly, the ranch owner's son's wife. And,
what a creep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then there's a couple other actors in there that I know who they are. I've seen them in a ton of stuff, but I cannot think of their names. Like the old man Barry, I think is what his name is, that had the old dog, you know, is missing a hand or whatever. He's an old ranch hand and stuff like that. And he wants to go in on the ranch with George and Lenny or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him in a ton of stuff also, but I was watching that and I watched it on Amazon Prime the other day, just yesterday, actually. Yesterday was like the movie day for me. Like that's all I did. You know, I was trying to stay off my foot as much as what I possibly can. And so it's like, Well, it's tough living, man. I'm laying around with my feet propped up in the air to keep it from swelling up, taking steroids, and like watching movies, man. It's tough, dude. It's tough work, but I guess somebody's got to do it, you know? And, watched Of Mice and Men. Of course, like, the movie's not that great. The movie, it's funny though, because I was watching it and I'm reading the credits that are playing at the beginning of it. It's, you know, written by John Steinbeck. The novel's written by John Steinbeck. I don't know who adapted this one for the movie or whatever. But it was like Gary Sinise, you know, starring in it, playing George. Somebody else, Sinise, is the person who edited it, but I'm guessing it's like related to Gary Sinise. It's like directed by Gary Sinise, produced by Gary Sinise. I was like, good grief, dude. Was he just like doing everything in this movie? And it makes me wonder about how long ago it was, because him and John Malkovich were both pretty young in that movie, man.
That movie's that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
At the 90s at least, wasn't it?
I'm going to look it up right now. I'm going on IMDb to see if I can find the age of it, because I'm not really sure exactly when it was released, but I want to say it was like either late 80s or early 90s, because I think that after we read the play, because I never read the official whole book, and I'm kind of glad I never did have to read the whole book, because I remember reading Grapes of Wrath, and I hated that book, man. I absolutely hated the Grapes of Wrath, and it could be one of those that I hated it so much because like we had a student teacher teaching it to us, and like she was just getting so in depth on it, and that book was painful, man. But 1992.
Yeah, 92. Would have been quite a while back.
Yeah, yeah. It's the year that Steven graduated high school. But I mean, what's up?
No, you go ahead.
Oh, Ray Walston played Candy. I'm sorry, not Barry. And, Sherilyn Fenn. Oh, yeah. She's just listed as Curly's wife. She doesn't even have a, have a character name.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie Being John Malkovich?
I have not seen that, man.
Let me see. It's a, you want to talk about a weird movie? It's got, it stars, let me see here. I can't remember his name.
Good thing is, like, I think I caught it early, so I don't think I lost too much of your audio, so.
Yeah, I was talking about, tell me when you were going to hit record again.
We're recording now. I paused it till I got it fixed, and as soon as I got it fixed, I just took it off pause. I figured, like, just us talking about it would kind of let people know what happened. Somehow the setup that I have isn't the most professional, and I've got Michael going through a speaker that's connected to my computer that's recording through Michael's usual microphone. And, I have to swap the speaker over from Bluetooth to a line in, and somehow the line in got swapped back out to Bluetooth, and it shouldn't have. So I'm going to have to, I've got headphones on, so I'll keep one uncovered so that way I can keep hearing you coming through the speaker over there. So that way I'll know immediately if it goes out. But I was watching the register, thank God, and I noticed that it just went flat whenever you were talking. I was like, what happened? So anyways, sorry.
Yeah, I was talking about Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that has John Malkovich in it, of course, duh. But yeah. I couldn't remember John Cusack's name.
Oh, okay.
John Cusack is a 1999 movie directed by Spike Jonze, and it's written by Charlie Kaufman.
Huh.
And it was their feature film debut. But the weird thing about it is, and it's a really weird movie, Cusack plays this guy, gets this job, and he finds that in his office where he works, behind a filing cabinet, is a hole in the wall that if you climb into that hole in the wall, you can enter John Cusack's mind.
Oh,
John Malkovich's mind, and see things through his eyes. If you get good enough at it, you can actually take over John Malkovich's body.
Really?
And then they start having people, he starts like written out a hole for people that want to just go experience being John Malkovich. It is weird. Really, really weird movie. Of course, you know, Spike Jonze and Charlie Kaufman, those guys are,
Oh, yeah. It just makes you wonder, like, how they came up with that concept and why they picked John Malkovich.
And John Malkovich was cool with it. Like, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is he known for doing like weird stuff or whatever? Or I don't know that much about John Malkovich. Whenever I've seen him in movies, I loved him. Like I liked him in Red. You know, he was one of the crazy dudes in Red or whatever. That was a great movie with the old guys. Like, what were they, like a hit squad type thing or whatever?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Had the girl from Weeds in it.
We watched Equalizer 2 yesterday.
Equalizer 2.
Denzel.
Oh, okay.
A few years back, Denzel did a remake of that TV show. I don't know if you remember the TV show, The Equalizer.
No, I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
Retired ex-military, ex kind of like Black Ops CIA kind of guy, you know, mysterious background that's retired. And he, on the TV show, he'd go out and he'd find people that people would find him or something like that, that need help.
Yeah.
They're kind of like up against something. He's the equalizer. He makes these people that kind of have a no chance, give them a fair shot. And Denzel is a guy who's faked his death and he's doing the same kind of thing. Somebody, he'll just kind of step in and help people out. It's a really good movie though. I mean, talking about just watching Denzel watch him go around and kick people's butts. It's pretty good way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah. I like Denzel, man. I try to just about anything that he puts out, I try to watch it. I haven't ever seen the one where he's like the airplane pilot or whatever. I can't think of that movie's name. There's one where he's a pilot or whatever, but just the previews. I remember the previews threw me off because he like, you know, like has to do a barrel roll or something like that and like a big jumbo jet. And I was like, yeah, those aren't set up like that. I'm sorry. Their frame can't stand that type of pressure. I don't know. And if they do, I mean, they can, I guess, but it's not going to work out too well for you. Like that, really bad CGI, thing that I always see floating around on Facebook and everybody's going, oh my gosh, where it shows like the plane coming in for landing. It's like dipping its wings left and right. And then all of a sudden it does like a barrel roll and it lands, you know, on the wheels just perfectly. I'm like,
oh man.
Yeah. It's totally fake. It's horrible, but people, you'll see it and they bite into it. They're like, oh my gosh, look at this. This landing's amazing. And it's like, yeah, that landing's not real. That's why it's amazing. That plane can't do that. Just look at the wings. Whenever you watch it, the wings are like all sorts of corkscrewed and not right because they didn't spend enough time rendering it and making sure that the wings would stay straight. But yeah. And stuff like that just drives me up the wall. But yeah, that's the only one like Denzel movie I can think of that I haven't watched. Like I loved, what was it? Man on Fire or whatever.
Man on Fire is great.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
Training Day is great.
Training Day. Oh my God. I've wore that movie out.
Yeah.
He's hardly, almost every movie he's in is worth watching.
Dude.
The Manchurian Candidate when he did the remake of that.
Oh yeah. And I'm going to sing one part of his song real fast and it might give you the creeps. The time is on my side. Yes,
it is.
What was the name of that?
Wow.
Was that Fallen? Is that the name of that movie?
Fallen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fallen.
With John
That's
Goodman.
Another great one. Oh. His partner is John Goodman.
Well, I love John Goodman, man. You throw John Goodman in anything and I'm going to watch it. That guy's freaking amazing. Like, yeah. Yeah. John Goodman and Denzel, dude. Like those two in that movie, like that. Oh, yeah. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I just kind of went on. Man crushed a little bit on John Goodman, even though like you know he's not the most greatest thing to look at, but God bless that guy's a good actor. And
he's a great actor, yeah.
Highly underrated. But yeah, Denzel, man. Dude, yeah, I could probably go on and on and on and on about movies that he's done that's just, you know, love him. Just love him. Heck.
See, he did Magnificent. I never saw The Magnificent Seven.
I haven't seen that one either, man.
I might have to add that to my list.
I think that's on Netflix, too.
Is it?
I think so, man. Yeah, I went on.
Do you watch Travelers?
Travelers. I don't guess so.
Netflix show?
No,
I don't guess so. Time travel one. I think it was about a year ago that season two came out, and I was trying to explain it to you and Steve.
That's right. I remember you saying it now.
Season three just came out. And it's we're gonna have to block out some time to watch it.
Yeah,
because it's a really good show. But I didn't know if you ever try to get caught up on it or not.
Dude, there's so many I need to watch right now. And right now I'm in like full on like Christmas mode. I finally got my Christmas tree up like a couple of weeks ago. Finally got that up. I was kind of debating on whether or not I was going to put it up. And then now I've gone into full, like I watched Of Mice and Men yesterday. And then I went on like Christmas movie kick. Like I started with, watched It's a Wonderful Life, and I've never watched that movie before, and I don't know how it gets ever labeled.
Really?
Yeah, I've never really watched it before. I've only seen pieces of it, and yesterday I watched the entire thing, and I was like, how did this really get kind of billed as a Christmas movie? Because it's not about Christmas up until like the very end of it, you know, really. But watched It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, because I love Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. They're both freaking amazing. And then I watched Elf. I watched Elf. I tried watching Elf and I fell asleep on the couch because I had the like blanket on me. And I was all curled up on the couch. It was just nice and toasty. And next thing I know, I wake up and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, hey, I guess I should probably go to bed. But first I'm going to go down a rabbit hole of watching videos on Facebook for another hour before I go to bed. So
Elf is so good. And that's one of the ones that we're going to watch at my house here. My wife's never seen an Elf. I'm like, what? How have we been married for this long and never watched Elf?
Right? That just blows my mind, man, because I've got two copies of that movie, man. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's good stuff. That, the first movie you mentioned there, Your Wonderful Life, it was like considered a big flop when it came out. And it kind of achieved like cult-like Christmas status, you know.
Oh yeah.
Over time, because apparently it didn't do that well when it was first released.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, I learned that somewhere.
Yeah, with like,
or I made it up.
No, I think you're right though, because I think I've always heard people say that that's like Frank Capra's like flop or whatever, because he was like a pretty notable filmmaker back then or whatever. But yeah, I want to say you're right, man. I want to say I've heard that before. I don't know exactly where I've heard it from, but now that you bring it up, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty sure that's what it was. But you know, you figure with the cast like Jimmy Stewart or whatever, you figured it.
Yeah.
It would have killed like Slade back then, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it was the first time I'd ever watched it all the way through. Like I'd always seen pieces of it on TV or in other movies because you know, they show it in like Home Alone or whatever. But I never had officially watched the entire thing. I basically knew the movie because I'd seen pieces of it all over the place for the minis and minis of years or whatever, but never actually sat down and physically just watched it from beginning to end. So
it's one of those that's so pop culture heavy that, yeah, you can know all about the movie without never having seen it. Kind of like Casablanca.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, play it again, Sam. I've
listened to a podcast about the movie Casablanca. And it's a weird, I mean, it was, the setting is December 1941.
Yeah.
Is when it was set. It was released in 1942. And back then the guys on this podcast, I'd say the name if I could remember it, but I'm not going to take my time to look on my phone and figure it out. It's kind of like a classic movies podcast or something like that. They basically once a month, they do an episode where they talk about great old movies.
Yeah.
Kind of like a bucket list kind of thing. Back Americans were extremely isolationist.
Oh God. Yeah.
That's why we took so long to get into World War II, especially after, you know, tomorrow you and I are going to go watch the Peter Jackson documentary about World War I.
They shall not grow old. Oh, sorry.
World War I left a big bad taste in a lot of people, especially Americans, even though we were only involved for a brief period, and being involved in any more
wars. Yeah.
Wars like that. And, it took a lot to get I never thought it like this, but watching the movie, thinking back over the movie, the way they're talking about it, Bogart's character he's an American Rick and he kind of does represent America. He kind of just stands for himself. He doesn't want to get involved. He'll do a little bit here, but then by the end of the movie, he's like, I'm going to be a part of this because this needs, I got to step in and help out.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that's going on. And it's kind of like a metaphor for what the situation with the United States at that time in history.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we were, like you said, we were isolationists up until the point that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. That's the way I've always taught it, took it, and that's the way I've always been taught, and, you know, in history or whatever. I haven't ever really looked at it and formed my own opinion about it. But yeah, it's kind of weird, especially because you look at that mindset there, you know, from the early 1900s, you know, well, even before the early 1900s, of how much of an isolationist America was up until World War II. And then all of a sudden after World War II, like, it's like every conflict, we're right in the middle of it. We're starting conflicts of our own or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. A big change right then. Cause even, you know, the United States military from the end of the Indian Wars on, we didn't really have that much of a military.
No, exactly. And it was, you know, even in World War I, we didn't have that much of a military, you know, it was, you know, I guess it was like really kind of started like beefing up, like what, like shortly after the Great Depression or whatever is whenever it started up. And really, like, even then the training methods were still like pretty rudimentary, you know. You didn't have, I mean, you had the lifelongers that would go into the military or whatever, but it was kind of like taboo for the one kid to go in and join the military or whatever in the town or whatever. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a popular thing like what you have kids do now. Like, where, you know, my graduating class had probably like 10 or 15 kids that went into the military or whatnot. And I say 10 or 15 kids, I graduated with a class of like 72 or something like that. You know, it was
small, pretty substantial then.
Yeah, exactly. Small schools and stuff like that. You have a, you know, big size of them going in for whatever reason that they go in for. You know, it could be, you know, just as much as like, well, I'm doing this so that way the military will pay for my college or whatever, or just them doing it because they're like, well, this is what I like, this is what I want to do, I've always been interested in this, so this is the reason why I'm going in, or it'll help me like get training for my job. I don't want to go to school, but this will, you know, if I can get this job, then it'll help me get training for this. And, you know, like a dude I was friends with whenever I was a kid, he lived right around the corner from us, this guy by the name of Jesse, and, you know, he went into the military after high school and was a military MP, and now he's a police officer. That's what he always wanted to do. Always wanted to be a police officer. And so he went into the military, became an MP, and now he's a, you know, career policeman, police officer, whatever you want to call him. But yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know, things like that, man. I don't know how we got off on that. Just but like,
I don't either. We were talking about,
we were talking about Netflix. Yeah. Talking about Netflix.
A wonderful life led to Casablanca
Yeah. You're talking about that time travelers thing. There's a lot of stuff I need to watch. I've been instructed to watch. I won't say instructed. It was suggested, and I really want to check it out. The new Sherlock Holmes series that has Benedict Cumberbatch.
I love that series. Yeah. That's good stuff. There, Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
excellent.
I've been instructed to watch that. And, you know, from what I've heard about it, everybody I've talked to, and even including you now, excuse me, I'm trying to keep from hiccuping here. But everybody I've talked to has loved it and raves about it or whatever. And I, you know, we were talking, I think just last week, like I love like the noir movie type things or whatever. So I, you know, not necessarily movies, but like books or whatever. So I, you know, a detective story is right up my alley. So I'm going to start it. Yeah. I'm planning on probably starting it today. I was going to start it yesterday and I got sidetracked with all the movies and stuff like that or whatever. And I, now that you've mentioned time travelers, I do remember you bringing that up, you know, in the infancy of the 2BT. So I need to start that at some point also. And I've been told that I need to check out, Handmaid's Tale. Anyways, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, that's a rough one. Oh gosh. Is this? Yeah. I mean, it's worth watching, but it is, that's on, Hulu.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's Amazon.
That's a rough show, man.
Yeah. I can't remember. Is that Hulu?
Margaret wrote the book and it paints a bleak future.
Oh, really?
For America. Wow. It's like a horror movie that's not
meant to be horror.
No horror elements.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty depressing, but it's good. It's also good at the same time.
Yeah.
We watched that. Yeah. There's so much good stuff though. I've always been a sucker for Sherlock Holmes though.
Oh yeah. No, that's the same here. I remember watching, Sherlock Holmes and the Hounds of the Baskervilles whenever I was a kid and loved that movie. Like,
I'm talking black and white.
Oh God. Yeah. The old black and white, man. old school. I remember first time I remember seeing that. I remember watching it down at my great uncle James's house in College Station and, watching it down there. And of course, like he's the guy I told you about. Like, you know, I remember waking up in the middle of the night. Well, not necessarily waking up in the middle of the night, but somebody being in the den watching, watching TV or whatever. And I'd go in there and be my great uncle James and he and I would watch something on like PBS, whether it be like Benny Hill, which I shouldn't have been watching at that young age, or, you know, Sherlock Holmes and the Hounds of the Baskervilles. And I remember going in there one time and he was in there watching Sherlock Holmes and sit there and watch that with him. And it was just freaking awesome. Blew me away. I was like, oh, dude, this movie's good. I want to watch this again. And I think, what's that?
Some people are prejudiced against older movies like that, the black and white. I went through a whole period where I just devoured tons of them just trying to see all the old great movies like that.
Oh, God, yeah, man. Like, Lord, I guess it was like, it wasn't long ago. I went on a, I say it wasn't long ago. It was probably about 10 years ago because I think I was married at the time. And me and my ex-wife, we kind of went on this whole, like, kick of watching nothing but, like, old movies. Like, we would just basically turn it on and leave it on, you know, TCM or whatever, you know, they're on Turner Classic Movies. And if it wasn't in black and white, we weren't really watching it, but you know, that's what we were doing. And it was just cool. It was just like, I don't know if you call it like growing or whatever, but it was just fun times, man. It was, you know, saw a bunch of old movies that, you know, I'd never seen before that still like were just great. But of course, there was also a bunch of groaners also. You know, I'm a,
well, yeah,
I'm a fan of, crap. I can't think of her name. I always dance with, Gene Kelly all the time. You know, who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah.
I don't. Not Judy Garland.
No, no, not Judy Garland. Man, I can't think of her blasted name, dude. And that's killing me.
Yeah,
it's not that it's important or whatever, but anyways, yeah, it'll come to me. But anyways, watch a bunch of her movies. It seems like they were going crazy with hers. Gene Kelly and who else? Oh man, can't believe I can't remember that, dude. What is wrong with my brain?
I don't know.
And of course, I pull up Gene Kelly on IMDb and just, I was like, oh, I'll just look at this one right here because he was in a lot of stuff with her. And of course everything I pull up is not showing that lady's name and that's killing me even more. Let's go to all filmography. There we go. Because, well, no, This is, I'm sure, riveting for people to listen to right now. Well, they're probably.
I wish I could help you on it, but I cannot.
Yeah.
Can't think of it. He debuted with Judy Garland in, For Me and My Gal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Singing in the Rain? Would it?
No.
Would she have been in that? American in Paris?
What is American?
Anchors Away.
Check out American in Paris real fast. Man, I don't know. It's not a big deal. I ain't going to worry about it because I might not even have the male part right on it.
Maybe you're thinking about Fred Astaire.
Maybe it is Fred Astaire. Who was his dancing partner he was always with?
I don't know. that's one of my holes. I didn't watch a lot of the movies with the dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Dancing stuff.
Yeah.
I was always a sucker for every, I tried to watch every Bogart movie that I could.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's my thing.
Yeah. Dude, Audrey Hepburn. Sorry. I pulled up Fred Astaire and, of course, one of the first ones that popped up was Funny Face, which has Audrey Hepburn in it. And that's like, she's one of those just timeless, like beauties, man. Like, God bless that chick was, yeah. Anyways, sorry, I totally got sidetracked there with Audrey Hepburn just in. Have you ever seen Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I want to say I have, but it's been a long time. I did watch Sabrina, because that's with Bogart.
Yeah, Ginger Rogers, dude.
Yeah, Ginger Rogers.
Yeah,
first. Yeah. I can't believe we couldn't think of that.
Yeah, what the hell, man? Good grief. Yeah. Old. Yeah. Ah, well, I had the wrong person anyways. Yeah, I'm still recovering from sick brain is what I'm going to blame it on. because I said Gene Kelly. But, you know, Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, they're both famous dancers. It's crazy. Yeah, you know.
So what was this? You sent me a link about Egypt.
Oh, yeah. About
yesterday.
They were digging.
They discovered another Sphinx.
It's something about, I didn't read the entire article because I got sidetracked.
They didn't have pictures of it released yet, but they've discovered a new Sphinx.
Yeah, they were digging a road, uncovered Sphinx found by Egyptian road workers. So they were digging a new road that, I'm actually going to the link right now. They're digging a road and I can't remember what two, areas they were trying to connect. It's apparently like two, come on. Oh yeah, road work in Luxor came to a halt early August 2018 after workers accidentally found a similar statue, which they described as having a lion's body with a human head. The road work was being done to link the temple complexes of Luxor and Karnak, believed to date around 1400 BC and was supposed to be finished this year. The discovery of the statue is changing the project timeline. But what really interested me, the reason why I sent it to you, is because, like, the old picture of the Great Sphinx that they had, it said the Great Sphinx partly under the sand, circa 1870s. And of course, it's obviously an old black and white super sepia toned picture or whatever, which is super neat that they found a new Sphinx. Like, that's really cool. But it's also like, if you look at this picture, to me, it almost solidifies that the head that is on the Sphinx that we know, the Great Sphinx that's in Egypt, not the one that they just found, but this is, you know, the one from that's they've known about for a really long time. The head that's known to be on it is not the original head. It doesn't look like it. Did you check out that picture finally yesterday?
I did. Yeah. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just because the tone of it is so much darker than the rest of the body and there's nothing there to shade it. Like, you can see where the sun is coming in because there's a little bit of a shade on the neck of the Sphinx. So you get a direction of where the light's hitting it from. The problem is, even on the opposite side that it's casting a shadow on is what would be in the full sunlight. And the head is so much darker than what the rest of the body is. It says to me, that's not the original head on it. It says to me that the body is a lot older than what that head is.
Yeah. That's one of those things. I don't know if they're ever going to reach an agreement on that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it, man. It's just one of those things that's still just like, it's really interesting. I like it. It's the type of stuff that, you know, it takes me down those rabbit holes and I still feel bad because I haven't, you know, Martin sent us some videos on Twitter the other day and I still haven't watched those yet. I keep forgetting about it, but like I'm so backlogged of stuff I need to watch and all like this junk. Like I said, I need to watch, Sherlock Holmes. I need to watch Travelers. I need to watch Handmaiden's Tale along with all the other like, my seasonal watching that I get thrown in there. Oh yeah, I forgot the Polar Express. I watched the Polar Express yesterday also. So as you can tell,
you really did go on a movie marathon.
I did, man. I didn't do anything. Like I said, it's tough life whenever you possibly have a stress fracture in your foot. And so it's like,
you just got to sit there.
I just got to tough it out, man. I got to tough it out and sit here with my foot propped up because dude, like it was bad on Friday. Like if I miss work for any reason whatsoever, because I usually don't keep much cover time. Because I like using my cover time for my personal time or whatever.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to miss work and miss out on money, then it's got to be quite painful or whatever. And I got up like Friday morning and my foot was swollen so bad that I couldn't hardly even get my shoe on. Like I had to like basically like loosen it out as much as what I possibly could just to get my shoe on or whatever. And I wasn't sure what was going on or whatnot. And so I went to a Care Now. I don't really have my insurance, my health insurance used to be great. Now stinks, but that's all political stuff. And I'm not going to get into that, but you know, it used to be great and it now stinks. And so I don't really carry a personal physician anymore because I can't afford to really go to the doctor because of the way my health insurance is set up. And, so like just to go and tell me like, yeah, your foot is messed up. It was $161. And, you know, they wanted to send me for x-rays and I was like, look, any other time I'd be like, yeah, let's go check this out and see what's going on. You know, because like in the arch of the foot and they said anything else, would usually be in like the joint somewhere or whatever, not in the arch of the foot. And so that's the reason why he wanted to send me for, x-rays and stuff. And he said it was also really red and of course inflamed or whatnot. And so the thing that scared me the most is he's like, well, you know, you don't want to do the x-rays because it costs so much. We got Christmas just right around the corner. I still have, you know, my brother and sister procreated so much that I've got so many little rugrats I got to buy for. I can't afford to do anything else right now. And, yeah. You know, he wanted to do that. And I was like, no, I just can't. I can't do that right now. So I bypassed on the x-rays, but you know, the thing that kind of freaked me out the most is he was like, okay, well, you know, if this isn't better by Monday, he goes, you need to come back and we got to start intravenous antibiotics. And I was like, dude, can't we just go ahead and like start me on some antibiotics just to be on the safe side or whatever? But
heck yeah.
You know, yeah. Just to keep from like, but I mean, I don't think that's going to have to happen because like it's not. It's still a little bit red, but it's definitely not as swollen. I can actually put on my shoes normally. And, you know, I'm not a big person of wearing shoes. As soon as I get into my home, that's the first thing that happens is the shoes and socks come off because I cannot stand wearing shoes and socks. So yeah. But anyways,
you're a Croc man.
I am, dude. I love my Crocs. And I know people, you know, you can say whatever you want to about me wearing Crocs, but they are comfortable. And, you would love them too if you tried them out. Especially like I've got my two pairs. I've got my pair for winter wear and my pair for summer wear. And the summers, you know, they're just like the open toed, like sandals, like slides, whatever you want to call them. I always call them sandals. I don't guess they're technically sandals. I guess they're kind of like slides, almost like shower shoes for you to just slide on and slide off type thing. The other are like the kind of clog looking things, but they've got like a nice fuzzy, like warm liner that are just wonderful that I can walk outside with the dog and, you know, don't have to worry about putting on shoes and socks just to go outside and let the dog do her business during the, you know, middle of the, you know, 45 degree weather or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's nice. I dig it. That and the fact that it feels like you're walking on two little clouds with those on too. So it's pretty awesome. I've
never tried the Croc.
You should try it out sometime, man. They make you look stupid. They do, but they are very, very, very comfortable. There's a reason why the health professionals wear them, man, because you can go for hours in those things and they're freaking great.
Yeah.
I don't know if the health professionals can wear them anymore because I think there was like a big stink because I will say, dude, they build up static electricity like you wouldn't believe. I know.
Oh,
like,
really?
Oh God. Yeah. Or at least it seems like it because everything shocks the hell out of me during the winter time, man. And it could just be me in the dry air. Like I'm like a generator for static electricity as it is, not during the summertime. And I wear my Crocs during the summertime, but during the wintertime, dude, like I'm like a rod or something like that for static electricity. Yeah. It's insane. Oh heck. But there's a couple of things that I found and I sent you one of the videos earlier that I thought was like super cool. I hadn't seen it yet. I don't know how long it's been out, but it was officially HBO released a teaser for the season 8 Game of Thrones final season or whatever. It's season 8, isn't it? Or is it season 7?
It's season 8. Yeah. April. Coming up in April.
This is pretty neat, yeah. Dude. What'd you think of that?
It just makes me want to go rewatch all the past seasons so I can be ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see what happens because so many things. I've seen so many different little weird theories about what could happen that I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so many. I know a lot of people are going to die. Cause that's just George R. Martin. One of the things that will hack me off, if Arya Stark dies, I'll be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
She's one of the ones that I demand that she makes it through to the end. That's my thing.
We will not rest without Arya Stark at least getting some sort of revenge on somebody.
Jon Snow, he's already died once. He could die again. But Arya needs to be, she's the one, she was there when Ned died. I want her to be the one in some way to kill Cersei.
Yeah, yeah.
To avenge her father's death.
She's got to, man. She's got to, like, because they've stolen the death of King Joffrey from her. So they've stolen the basically the death of everybody else from her. They got to do something, man. They got to give that character some fulfillment, because other than that, other than just being like a badass for her family or something like that, all her training and everything like that she's done has kind of like just kind of gone to the wayside and hasn't made much sense yet, because she hasn't had a chance to use it. You know, and I'm right there with you. I hope she, like, yeah, man, maybe she takes out Jaime Lannister or something like that. I don't know. Like,
could, but there's also theories that he might be the one that takes on the Night King, and, you know, Kingslayer.
Yeah.
What's his name? The nickname. Maybe he'll get that nickname and it'll be an honorable thing in the end.
It's true. And his sword is.
And it's just theories.
Yeah, his sword is Valyrian still now too. And that's supposed to be one of the weaknesses of the White Walkers, the Valyrian still and the dragon glass or whatever. But yeah,
there are so many crazy rabbit holes. If you want to talk about rabbit holes, you start looking at the fan theories about what's happening. You can lose hours going down that route. Yeah. People read so closely into it or watch so closely, because you got the two things, you got the books, which really bear very little resemblance to the show at this point.
Yeah.
Well, of course, then another thing is really hoping that he is just waiting to drop the last book and after Game of Thrones series is over. I hope it comes out this year.
Yeah. You think it's done then? Or is there any like,
sort he keeps saying he's working on it. He's working on it. And then he had a mysterious, he's been in a lot of press because, he put out another 800 page book about the history of like the Targaryens or something like that.
But, oh wow.
Like, that's 800 pages you could have been writing for, right, for your main series, dude. But
yeah,
he's probably one of those guys. He has all these different projects. I don't know. I think, and it would be smart to wait till the series is over, because there are so many different things that, I mean, it's not going to be like what we've seen, because they've already covered the ground that's going to be in this book.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really want him. I want him to get that book out. I want Patrick Rothfuss to get his book out.
Oh God. Yeah. That's one of those that, like, okay. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but that's one of those, that's one of those that's like, okay. Like, what you said just a second ago is about going back through and rewatching the Game of Thrones before the new season comes out, in which I'd started that at one point in time, and I kind of backed off of it because I got caught up in watching Deadwood again, where they announced the Deadwood movie. But I'm about to jump back in on watching Game of Thrones again. And, you know, if say the announcement comes out that they're releasing the final book of Game of Thrones, do you go back through and reread those tomes again before, just as like a refresher? Because you know, it'd be easy to get the two, stories confused of what's happened in the books and what's happened in the show. Canonicity, I guess, or whatever.
That's a tough call. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to say I'm not going to, just because it took, I forgot how long it took me to get through those books, because it's kind of like he said, George R. R. Martin said recently, one of the reasons this book that he's working on is so difficult to get done is basically it's 12 novels in one novel.
Good grief.
So yeah. So basically with every big book that he puts out, because the way he does it from character point of view, you really could probably go through and read just from like Bran's point of view and get his story.
Oh yeah.
And that's something I kind of wanted to do, is like maybe go through and like pick out Jon Snow, Arya, Sansa, and Tyrion maybe, and just like read through just their parts. And that might be enough of a refresher for me to know what's going on.
Yeah. That would be pretty neat if somebody could just even like separate that stuff out like that too, though. You know, that would be pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about that with the Name of the Wind, the Kingkiller Chronicles or whatever. Like, do I go back through and reread those? Those books are really good, but good God, they're tomes, man. Like,
those I might, just because there's only the two. And Rothfuss also said recently, he says, you really do need to read it all again, because this third book, when it comes out, you're going to want to go back and see things. There's things that are going to be brought up that is potentially could change your perspective of things you thought of when you first read the first two books.
Yeah.
He said, he says, and this is him, he likes to talk about himself a lot. And how, and I'm not trying to put him down, he is a great writer, but sometimes I hear him go on and on, and he's like, I'm just like, come on, dude. You're good, but really, you really hold yourself to really, really, and I'm probably hacking off a lot of his, because his hardcore fans are just like the Howlers for Pierce Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Love him. Love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, but the, yeah, I am going to probably go back and redo those.
Yeah.
Because,
and you know, there's the 2.5. There's the 2.5 also. Like, there's the second book, and then there's kind of like, I won't even call it a novella, like, because it's not like a short book. It's just called like 2.5, and I can't think of the name of it, but they have it on Audible. You know, so, you know, if you go to nerdylegion.com/audible, you could sign up and get 2 free books and 1 month free subscription. And one of those 2 books, you could get The Name of the Wind 2.5, or I'm sorry, I keep calling it The Name of the Wind, but that's the name of the first book, The King Killer Chronicles 2.5, and kind of find out that middle section there between whatever and whatever. I haven't listened to it yet, but that's something I'm definitely going to get here probably pretty soon, since I'm on Persepolis Rising in The Expanse. So
you're going to finish that and be on a long wait with me.
Yeah, but it's going to be worth it. You know, in the middle of, I'm sorry, I'm just totally shifting gears on us here, and I'm going to talk about Persepolis Rising real fast, since I started that this past week. And it's kind of bugging me that the characters are like really old, and, you know, well, I won't say old, because it's like, it's what, like almost, they said that people that were born whenever the rocks hit the earth are now old enough to vote. So there's, I'm guessing somewhere around 18 to 20 years has passed since.
Like, I think it's closer to 30 or 40 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first page. That's the one that, cause it, in my head, cause it goes on for about a chapter, maybe two, and you never hear anything about Holden or Amos or none of the crew.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, okay, I'm in my head, I'm imagining the last time I saw them, they were in their 30s. Some of them,
yeah.
Like Alex, probably I imagined in his 40s. That means they're in their like 60s and 70s, maybe.
Yeah, it's what it seems like, because but the way they
it's
talk.
Like I was trying to explain to my wife, they've got really good drugs in the future to help keep you kind of pretty young.
Oh, yeah, keep you young.
The ship is not aged very well.
Yeah.
The Rosie's not aged very well, but yeah, it's an interesting. Yeah, and you're going to get to the end there, and you're going to be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Where are they going to take this in 2 more books?
Well, yeah, it's, well, and you can see the clash coming in the book, because it's like where I'm at right now. I guess the Mars, traitors or whatever you want to call them have like kind of started to go on the move, is what, you know, from the, I can't remember what gate it was they went through. But they're kind of like on the move to do whatever it is that they're about to do. And they're about to head to, the station, the big station that was the big Mormon ship.
The ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't
Taco
think of that.
Station.
Tacos. Yeah. Yeah. It's not Taco Station, but you know what station I'm talking about? The one that was the big Mormon generation ship that Taco Station built.
Oh, yeah. They changed the name of it like 3 times.
Yeah. Cause it was the Behemoth at one point in time. And then they changed it to whatever station, to where they just said, okay, well, now this is going to be a space station set here next to the rings. And it's going to, you know, regulate the flow of traffic in and out of the rings and blah, blah, blah. You know, I did like the way that the, Nemesis Ashes ended. That was pretty cool. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. That was pretty neat. You know, the, figuring out the mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. But yeah, man, I'm all in on Persepolis Rising. Hopefully I can finish that this week before the Christmas break, because I go on, I work Monday through Friday next week, and then I'm off, man, from that Saturday to January the 2nd. And I do not have a thing to do except for basically hang out and watch a bunch of TV, because apparently I'm going to be doing that with, Time Travelers. Isn't that what it's called? Or is it just called the Travelers?
Just Travelers.
Travelers. Yeah. The new Sherlock Holmes, and possibly even Handmaid's Tale. Got a lot of stuff that I've got to watch. A lot of stuff I need to do. We have a family Christmas next Saturday, so we'll actually be seeing each other without microphones in front of our faces.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I was going to suggest that if you went to that, that you'd come out here and we do an episode.
Yeah.
But it's not going to work out, because that's when we're doing my wife's family Christmas.
Okay. I was actually going to bring that up to you, because I was like, you know, if I'm going to be going out there anyways, I might as well bring the stuff out. Also, and we could just knock out an episode. I don't know what people would think. Almost thought about taking everything out there and then just getting members of the family to come sit down and talk to us for a second. Oh,
Lord.
I don't think it would turn out, because it'd be so loud, and it's going to be so blasted loud in that building anyways.
Filter out all that noise.
Oh, no.
We come with a lot of loud people in our
family. Oh, my God. And everybody likes to talk over everybody else. Just a few more things I want to cover real fast, because we're already at an hour and five. Well, you can already tell that this episode is like, Dave's not sick anymore and he actually has stuff to talk about and all like this. Like last week, dude, I was still like, I wasn't 100% last week. I was feeling a hell of a lot better, but as you could even hear in my voice, I always listen to the show anyways, just to kind of like hear like, you know, quality control and be like, oh, well, Dave, you had the levels all wrong on this and blah, 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 and all like this type of stuff. But like last week, I was just listening to it and listening to my voice. I was like, man, like,
much better this week.
Oh, yeah.
Than last week.
Yeah, I still have a few sinus issues, but I think that's just because of allergies today, man. We got like south wind blowing in, and it's like blowing in some crap. I woke up with my eyes burning and stuff. I absolutely hate that, man. It's just ridiculous. But just a couple of little things that I came across whenever I was looking up stuff. And I always just look up just random crap or whatever, just for grins or whatnot. But one thing I did find out is, The Mandalorian has a few more, casting announcements. Of course, they did come out and say the other day that Pedro Pascal is going to be the Mandalorian. He is the Mandalorian. So, the Sand Viper or whatever his name was, the guy that got killed Oberon. By the mountain. Yeah. Oberon Martell is the Mandalorian in the series. But Carl Weathers and Werner, I don't know if you would pronounce his name Werner or Werner, because his last name is Herzog. So I'm going to pronounce the W like a V, because that's what they do in like the German language. So Werner Herzog has been, added to the Mandalorian. Now, I don't know how many episodes they'll be doing. Yeah.
Now, you know who he is, Rod.
Who's that?
He's like really famous. Herzog is a famous director.
Oh, really?
Who also does acting. But, you know, you ever see the movie, the documentary Grizzly Man, about the guy that goes and he would spend his summers living with the bears, like on Kodiak Island or something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Finally, he made that documentary, and he's made a great documentary about the Chauvet caves, the cave art in France.
Oh, really?
Where he went in with like really good high definition cameras and captured all the art or a lot of the art in that cave. That is, yeah, he's a great filmmaker.
Yeah,
he's got a really grim. Yeah, that's funny that he's going to be in that too.
Yeah, I haven't heard that about the cave art in France. I'm going to have to check that out, man. Like,
you definitely need to. It's awesome.
It sounds really cool, man. That sounds like right up my alley. But Carl Weathers, you know, was in Rocky. You know, he played Apollo Creed in Rocky, and then he was also in The Predator. You know, those are the two movies I can name him
when
from.
I think of Carl Weathers, I just think of him having lost his hand to an alligator.
Oh, Chubbs. Yeah.
Oh, Chubbs. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was announced. You know, it's kind of funny because I always kind of thought that the last movie being added to Netflix from Star Wars would be The Last Jedi, but apparently Solo is going to be added to, Netflix, even though the Disney, you know, Disney Plus is going to be starting up, I guess, sometime next year. It keeps saying 2019, but Solo is set to hit Netflix. I think it's January 1st. Yeah, January 1st brings the final season of Series of Unfortunate Events, along with stand-up series Comedians of the World, blah, 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 blah. But anyways, yeah, I think that's supposed to be set with Solo hitting Netflix in January. But one of the coolest things, and I'm going to have to try to find a way to get this because I really want this, and I had to bring it up whenever I saw this, and it's a book. It's archives book. It's the Star Wars Archives is a monster behind the scenes book. Now there's been tons of behind the scenes books. I can't think of the writer's name, but he did one for each one of the movies separately of the original trilogy. That is, you know, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. But this is, written by film historian Paul Duncan. It's the Star Wars Archives, a massive tome from art book publisher Taschen, T-A-S-C-H-E-N. They say is nonetheless worth picking up. It's a 13-pound book.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that thing. It looks huge.
Yes, it does. It's, they gave the dimensions of it. They said basically, like, if you have a coffee table, it's going to take up the entire coffee table within how big it is. Wow. But it's $200. That's the only downfall of it, man, is that it's $200. It looks like it's filled with Macquarie art. And now, yes, yeah, all this comes at a price. Comes at a cost, $200 to be precise, which means it isn't exactly an impulse buy. It's also massive, fully open. The 13-pound book takes up the entirety of a small coffee table, but if you have the money and space for such a book, it's a volume that rewards endless flipping through all the images, interviews, and minute details that have kept fans coming back to the films time and time again over the years. And like I said, it looks like it's like everything that I've seen, like there's a bunch of images here. Everything it looks like, of course, there's some behind the scene photos, but like it's filled so much full of Macquarie art. And like, if you want to get me, you want to pull me into something, you throw some Macquarie art in there, man. That stuff is just absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's amazing. I was lucky enough at Celebration 5, in Orlando. It was the first celebration I went to. They had, I think it's Dreams and Visions Press that was kind of like, it wasn't Ralph Macquarie's company, but that's all they did basically was do like Ralph Macquarie, like publications and stuff. And they had a whole little room set up and it was a Ralph Macquarie exhibit. So every piece in there was a Ralph Macquarie, like original. And it's like this, these two fellas, they had gone and worked personally with Ralph Macquarie and gone down into his basement and pulled out all these old, like, drawings and designs and all like this type of stuff of his that he'd done, you know, stuff hidden behind the furnace and all like this crap. And like,
wow,
you know, even like, you know, little doodles on napkins, like he was kept because it was like a doodle for Star Wars or whatever. You know, you'd have a napkin with like a little bit of a costume design of like a boot or whatever, or even Vader's head, like is like sketched out on the corner of like a piece of paper or whatever, you know, just, like super, like just very, very, it's just neat to see that and see the concept of these art. And of course, like R2 and 3PO, you know, their design from what they originally were are quite drastic to what they became. But like, even still, like whenever you see the original 3PO and see the original R2, you can see where the guys at ILM got the designs from. And they're like, oh, okay, I see where that came from. It's just awesome. I'll quit doting over Ralph Macquarie, but yeah, it's pretty amazing. But
it's one of those to keep an eye on. Maybe you can find it at a better deal later on.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing though, man, like those types of books like that, I'd like to say I could find it at a better deal later on, but a lot of times those books like that, they sell out quick because people are ravenous for that stuff somehow. I know the making of books, those sold out really quick and they were like a $70 price point where they sold. And, you know, anytime I go to look at for them now, they're like in the hundreds of dollars or whatever. At least it's what I always find them for on Amazon. But yeah, they don't usually decrease on the market after they come out. So it's just one of those. I'm just going to have to be like, do I have the space for it? How bad do I want it? And all like that. Everything is leaning towards yes, spend the $200 on it, but I don't know. That'd be a tough sell for me to like spend $200 on just a book, you know, like even if it is full of Macquarie.
Yeah.
But
tough call.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's going to bring us to a wrap, man. I think that's going to do it for us.
Wrap.
Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap, wrap, wrap. Anyways, if you like the show, help us grow, go by, rate us and write a review. Just remember, please be kind. We like 5 stars. I won't do the thing about Audible because I already did an Audible ad just a minute ago. So, you know, just know that you can go by nerdylegion.com/audible. They have tons and tons and tons of books. Like I said earlier, you get the 2.5 of the King Killer Chronicles, or you can get Game of Thrones since Game of Thrones is about to be back out. If you haven't read those and you're a Game of Thrones fan, then, you know, I suggest it. They're cool. They're really good books. They're long. They're tomes. You know, I keep using the word tome a lot here lately, but that's because the King Killer Chronicles and Game of Thrones, they are some tomes. But you know, they have hundreds of thousands of books and speeches, many more things all at your fingertips. You know, all you need is a subscription. Go by and check it out. You don't have to keep the subscription and you get to keep the books, but it's going to be so worth it. You're going to keep the book. You're going to keep both because it's, once you get it, you get hooked. That's how it's been for me. But if you want to contact us between shows, you can email us at the number 2BTShow. That's 2BTShow@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter. That's the number 2BTShow. That's 2BTShow on Twitter. Or you can even go by Facebook. We have Facebook. We don't really post anything there, but go by and follow us, like us, whatever the devil is called. If we start getting likes on that thing, I might even start posting on it, but right now I don't even post on Twitter though, so it's not like it's a big point. I should really, really start doing that, at least posting like, hey guys, there's a new show up. Why don't you go by and check it out? But yeah, go by and follow us on Facebook also. That's just 2BT. All right. But I think that's going to do it for us. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT. Signing out.
Merry Christmas if we don't have one out before then.
Yes, merry, merry, merry Christmas. And have a happy new year and all that jazz, but we should have something out before the new year. So
I bet we do.
Yeah. But, I was going to have us talk about Christmas memories this show, and I completely forgot about it, dude. That's all right.
Nah, maybe we'll be able to hook up and do another one.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
We might have to get off soon.
Yeah, I'm off until, you know, like I said, I get off on Friday. We can always hook something up or whatever. Man, I was also going to talk about Pink Floyd thing I went to on Friday night and stuff. Anyways, it's not that big of a deal. Anyways,
in it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time. So, anyways, I'm David.
I'm Michael again.
Yeah.
Adios.
Fayo con Diaz.
Thank you. You're too generous, too generous. Oh, thank you. Oh, really, really, that's too much,
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome, later guys.
Oh, geez.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm just rubbing all over my lips.
Use your mind. You don't use your body. Where do we go with this?
I don't know. But... Exactly. That's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasted time.
I don't know if I should say that.
Nope.
Online. Nope.
Yeah, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by the team.
Good Lord. What?
What makes me this way?
It is hot.
It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
Hot fish sticks.
Good God.
Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But that's man, whatever.
I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
Dude, I like.
I don't read too well.
I don't know my words. I just like looking at the face.
You know your words. I don't know mine.
That whole alphabet thing confused right. me.
Oh, just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
I don't know if this is fun for anybody listening, but it's not. Oh, my God.
Gotta play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make it moan and perspire.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp, burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
And you're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. How dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a touch of what tough is.
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
Ujaba of the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. No one admit defeat though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi,
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
It's training you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
this is a good guy, this is a bad guy, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy.
Dang it. Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans are a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old
because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.
America. Center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and dear, grown, ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
My Jesus, my